ask the what?
On the roll call, I have a question.
Okay. I think maybe we'll read all the items and then open it up for general discussion and then go through all of the discussion till we're done. We won't have a vote till we're done talking about it.
Roll call agenda. Number 19, approved preliminary operating budget for fiscal year 2011. 19A, short-term borrowing authority. That's revised. 20, approve issuance of auxiliary facilities system revenue bonds series 2010A1 and 2010B2. 21, approve fiscal year 2011 agreements for the University of Illinois Alumni Association and the University of Illinois Foundation. 22, approve project for research laboratory renovation in the College of Dentistry, Chicago. 23, approve project for apartment building housing renovations, Sunflower, Bluebell, Clover, and Larkspur Courts, Springfield. 24 is award contracts for Stanley O. Eikenberry Commons, phases C and D, Residence Hall West, and Garner Hall Demolition, Urbana. 25, extend contracts for Job Order Contracting System, Chicago. 26, approve intergovernmental agreement with the Urbana School District, number 116, to provide assistance for dependents in university family housing, Urbana. 27, approve lease of space for University of Illinois Multi-University Center, Oak Brook, Illinois. 28, approve lease of space for University of Illinois Extension Service, Peoria, Illinois. 29, authorize use of group purchasing contracts. 30, purchase and renewal recommendations. 31 is authorization for settlement in Lopez v. Salty et al. And 32 is disclosure of certain minutes of executive sessions pursuant to the Open Meetings Act.
Okay. I think at this time we'd open the floor for discussion. Francis, you had
a note. I have a question on number 24 and 25 of the awarding of contracts. First, for the Stanley Eikenberry Commons, I'd like to know from the committee if there, if any of the awards will be going to any African American contracts.
Trustee Carroll, of the 15 divisions that were bid, none were African American contractors.
Latino contracts? People of color contracts at all?
There were no Mapu contractors that were awarded. Trustees, again, as you know and you've heard before, sealed bid, low bid. When we have those contracts, the majority contractor, the prime contractor, is required in Urbana to come forward with, at this point, 6% on minority participation in subs and general contractor, and 4% for mechanical. That can be done either through labor or it can be done through supplies and materials.
Who sets those numbers?
It's policy, and we're going, and actually—
Our policy?
Our policy.
I think the policy needs to change.
Well, I understand, but Trustee Kent, let me finish for one second. There's a law out now where we are participating in initiating across the system. It was law under Senate Bill 351 that actually allows us to require MAFB minority subcontractors to be identified when the bid is provided, and set regional expectations both across the state, cloning from where the Capital Development Board has started their process, and extend in that a good faith effort when the bid is opened to determine whether or not if they did not meet what we would identify as the requirement, there would be a good faith effort process to determine whether they went through a procedure that would on criteria allow us to accept them as the bid. If not, then you would go to the next bid that does meet it. So we are initiating that now.
What would be the consequence of delaying approval of this particular contract till after we've had an opportunity to review our policies regarding this kind of contracting?
Chairman, I would I would say to you that the process in terms of, if you're talking about number 24 and the Eikenberry Commons, we are on schedule. This is a schedule that's been predetermined. I think it would be detrimental to making the on time on construction. We are committed to working toward a different policy that we are in discussion right now, based off of state law, which gives us an actual ability to be much more aggressive in making sure that we get what we need. So I would ask the board to move forward with this contract. It is important to keep the work going there, and come back in July or sooner to meet with whoever wishes to, and articulate where we are moving, where we will be moving forward on the capital side to initiate a very robust expectation from our contractors on what they're going to do with minority vendors in the future.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that, but it's been my experience, this question has come up many times, that does not happen. That concerns me, that we talk about it, but it never actualized, and we continue to have a reason why we don't have minority contractors, or the major contractors don't even hire the subs, or the minority contracts, and some of the subcontractors, and especially in Urbana. And so we keep doing the same thing over and over again. And even though we have good intentions, when we award the contract, it's not carried out.
So I think until the board changes its policy, Francis, this is going to continue to occur. So, I mean, I think we are the problem. And I think until we take some action as to the standards that we can apply, I don't think you're going to see tremendous improvement.
And I think the action for today would be to say no until we have this policy in place. We have to have our committee involved in these contracts.
So let me just understand the timing issue, because there's a frequent flyer through O'Hare. I'm used to delays, and I'm just trying to understand what the consequence of the delay is on the users.
Mr. Chairman, first off, what we did obviously is, or we would not bring it forward if it did not follow the requirements of the procurement code. At this point, when we get into a contract award, it is a low bid, sealed bid arrangement. The contractor that made good faith, and then we open the award and we take the low bid. What I'm trying to articulate to the board today, and probably not doing it very well, I'll try and be more clear about this, is that we are now in a position, given a change in state law, where we can't initiate much more aggressively an expectation on our contractors to move these numbers up. When it first came out, both IDOT and CDB went forward, and they were throwing people out on the basis of not meeting their recommendation or requirement, and got into lawsuit problems regarding that. CDB has developed a way and a process that I think is fairly reasonable that allows us to clone that now and then refine it even further. The question that always comes up in this is the reality question of how do we match where we are geographically to get the greatest amount of effort in achieving minority representation. I've said to this board before, and I'll say it again, we need to go where our critical mass is. We need to be extremely aggressive in expectation in Chicago. We should not forget Urbana. I'm not arguing that, but we should also be able to adjust those numbers to realize and effectuate what the actual reality of the business is in Central Illinois versus Chicago, in order to have an impact that's more where you will want to be. I am there. I mean, Trustee Carroll, you and I have been down this road many times. I have often said to you that if the state would give us the opportunity to be more aggressive about what we're doing, we should do it, we should take it, and we should push it. I am committed to that on the capital program side. And I think we're committed to that on all procurement. It's where we're going to need to go. We hear it loud and clear. what has changed the dynamic for us on capital programs is that we actually have law that sets hard goals that contractors have to follow, and then if they don't, they have to prove up what type of effort they made that allowed them to be then designed and adjusted and determined whether or not they made a good faith effort. And if they didn't, they're out, and you go to the next one. That's where we will be in the near future, writing the policy, getting it done, and enacting it. The question that I would ask for you is to allow us to move these items today, work with the board or whoever, what members of the board need to be, test the percentages that we would bring out based on the geographic dispersion of contractors and subs and where they are, understand what is required of a contractor when they go outside their general area into another part of the state with project labor agreements and expectations of where they're going to draw their business. They can't bring their own people down to do that, and the costs that are embedded in that to them. And use what we have in this system, which is three good areas to work consistently, geographically, and move our critical mass through Chicago, where most of the minority businesses are located in this
general area. I guess I'm just trying to understand if we delayed.
But
you're not you're arguing, but you're not answering the specific question, which is, you know, what is the specific impact?
We have a schedule. You have bids that were awarded. If we delay, then that delays the schedule. You're right. If we don't approve the item in the end, then we lose a significant amount of time that puts at risk the dorm and the demolition of Garner Hall. As we roll out the Eikenberry Commons revamp.
So if we delayed, let's say, 6 weeks to adopt a policy and rebid, what is the impact on delivery of the final product, and who is impacted by that?
If we have to go out for a rebid, if we're going to deny this item, it'll probably be longer than that. Chairman Kennedy, I mean, in terms of keeping these things on schedule, on budget, we got good bids here in terms of estimate to budget. I'm cognizant of where the board is at, and I respect that. I can't tell you, I can't give you an honest answer of what the timeline extension would be in terms of doing that again. But our next roll is in July when we come back. If we can keep, if we just don't act, I need to get an answer from legal about where we are if we just delay.
Well, certainly the board does not want to feel pressured that we have committed ourselves before a board vote somehow are incurring liability if we don't accept the recommendation from staff. So I hope that's not what we're hearing.
No.
Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman, I was somehow under the impression that we were planning to move veterans in there. Is that not the same building?
No, different building.
Okay.
Different building.
You know, we keep hearing, you know, we approved this and we'll fix the problem all year round. We haven't fixed anything. And it's all about where these people are at in terms of, you know, why Chicago should be the answer. Okay, the number of contracts we were with Chicago is also horrible. So we're just doing a very, very bad job. And it's very hard to tell the young people who attend these, you know, these schools to come here, but in the future, there's no job for you. There's no contracts for you. That's a very wrong thing to do. So we have to change that.
Trustee
Kennedy. Patience not the answer. That's a problem, I think. We've been too patient. I think that's been the problem.
Yeah, and I also, if I may add, you know, I think that all of these positions in terms of timing and all that with respect to this particular job is not as important as a real commitment on the part of the administration and this board to modify the policies. I'm not so sure that we can be satisfied with the legal consequences of such a program until we look into it carefully. I'm not sure that we can't do this without legislative change. If legislative change is necessary, let's do it. But I think that, every report that I look at is